sound went through because I was getting the echo back, or the delay. 1, 2, 1, 2, 3. Sound was there. Okay. All right, here we go. That's right, you guessed it. You're tuned into BBSRadio.com in a weekly show featuring me on Wednesdays, Don Nikoloff, the TNT Trusted News Hour. Technically, this show is going to be on aired live every day of the week, but I'm once a week, Wednesdays. And we're going to talk about the news. Everything that you don't hear on mainstream media. Everything that you don't see in the newspapers. Whether we're talking about TV or radio or the alternative press, we are going to bring stories to you that you won't find anywhere else except in your junk email. Maybe in your spam. Of course, I'm being a bit facetious here. We're going to keep the music going a little bit just to have a little bit of a groove because nobody plays music during the news, except on Mad TV. And I want to thank everybody that's joined the show. Hope it's entertaining and hope it's informative. More than that, I hope I don't make anyone angry. We're going to share some really interesting stories today. I'm actually not picking these off of the TNT website, where Mad Dog has got about a million postings, and quite a few other people go in there and share the news. I think that's there for you to peruse at your leisure. Of course, you're welcome to upload any important stories that you haven't seen anywhere, and if we find something that we really think needs to be brought to your attention, we will share it with you. I'd like to share an interesting story. In fact, I'm going to talk about the control people exert over other folks. This is a pretty interesting story here. This is called a new form of kidnapping. This is a very scary story and could happen to any of us. Seems like every nice thing people do for one another sometimes gets very perverted. This is a new twist on kidnapping. And the twist is on the part of a very smart survivor. About a month ago, there was a woman standing by the mall entrance passing out flyers to all the women going in. The woman had written the flyer herself to tell about an experience she had so she might warn other women. The previous day, this woman had finished shopping, went out to her car, and discovered that she had a flat. I presume that means a flat tire. She got the jack out of the trunk and began to change the flat. A nice man dressed in a business suit and carrying a briefcase walked up to her and said, "I noticed you're changing a flat tire. Would you like me to take care of it for you?" The woman was grateful for his offer and accepted his help. They chatted amiably while the man changed the flat and then put the flat tire and the jack in the trunk, shut it, and dusted his hands off. The woman thanked him profusely, and as she was about to get in her car, the man told her that he had left his car around on the other side of the mall and asked if she wouldn't mind giving him a lift to his car. She was a little surprised, and she asked him why his car was on the other side. He explained that he'd seen an old friend in the mall that he hadn't seen for some time, and they had a bite to eat, visited for a while, and he got turned around in the mall, left through the wrong exit, and now he was running late. The woman hated to tell him no because she had just He had just rescued her from having to change her flat tire all by herself, but she still felt uneasy. Now, at that point, you've got to trust your gut feeling, I think. She remembered seeing the man put his briefcase in her trunk before shutting it and before he asked her for a ride to his car. Again, trust your gut. She told him that she'd be happy to drive him around to his car, but she just remembered one last thing she needed to buy. So, showing a little bit of smarts there. She said she would only be a few minutes. He could sit down in her car and wait for her. She would be back as quickly as possible. She hurried into the mall. She told the security guard what had happened. The guard came out to her car with her, but the man had left. They opened the trunk, took out his locked briefcase, and took it down to the police station. The police opened it, ostensibly to look for ID so they could return it to the man. What they found inside was rope, duct tape, and knives. When the police checked her flat tire, there was nothing wrong with it. The air had simply been let out, most likely by the man. It was obvious what the man's intention was, and obvious that he had carefully thought it out in advance. The woman was blessed to have escaped harm. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. How much worse would it have been if she had her children with her and had them wait in the car while the man fixed the tire, or if she would have had a baby strapped into a car seat, or if she'd gone against her judgment and just given him a lift. Now, I don't expect you to remember all the details of the story, but keep it in the back of your mind the next time you run into this character. If you've got a flat tire, the best thing you could do is go and get some help with it, especially if you're a woman. Just a weird story out there, and hopefully it won't happen to any of us. This should keep you on your toes anyway. Now, another story about control, and this is involving a couple from New York. In fact, they're from Central Islip, New York. This is dated December 17th, so this is just a couple of days ago. In fact, we want to, again, wish Don Newsom a happy birthday, because it is his birthday. He's not talking very much about it today. We got to sing happy birthday to him early this morning, before the sun came up, during my Evident Footprints show. And he sounded like he was partying there. He had his maker's mark ready. Anyway, that's a little bit of sideline news there. Okay. Central Islip, New York. A jury on Monday, that's this week, convicted a millionaire couple of enslaving two Indonesian women they brought to their mansion to work as housekeepers. Wonder where they learned that trick. Pardon my pronunciation here. I'm going to do my best to say these names correctly. Mahender Murlidhar Sabnani, 51, and his wife, Varsha Mahender Sabnani, 45, arrived at court in October. They were convicted Monday of enslaving two women who were housekeepers in their Muttontown, New York mansion. Mahender Murlidhar Sabnani, 51, and his wife, Varsha Mahender Sabnani, 45, were each convicted of all charges in a 12-count federal indictment that included forced labor, conspiracy, involuntary servitude, and harboring aliens. Sounds like any American corporation to me that's got out-of-towners doing their work for them. One of the victims, identified as Anung, crouches in a toilet in their home. And, of course, there's a picture of this woman crouching near the toilet. Wait, it's a closet. I misread this. This is the Mad TV news, I think. It's not the TNT news. Again, let me repeat that. One of the victims, identifying as Anung, crouches in a closet in the home. The women were forced to work 18 hours a day or more and endure psychological and physical abuse, prosecutors said. Prosecutors said the women were subjected to repeated psychological and physical abuse and were forced to work 18 hours or more a day. Think about that. Think about that. It wasn't just mental torture or physical torture. That they were working. So the Sabnanis, who have four children and operate a worldwide perfume business out of their Muttontown home on Long Island's Gold Coast, could face up to 40 years in prison, although attorneys predicted the punishment would be considerably less. He is from India and she is from Indonesia, but both are naturalized U.S. citizens. One of the couple's daughters collapsed in the front row as the verdict was read, prompting the judge to clear the courtroom while medical personnel attended to her. Now, I wonder, this is just a commentary here, but I'm wondering if maybe the girls saw that they may have to do the work themselves. Anyway, defense attorney Jeffrey Hoffman said he would appeal. Apparently, the jury was taken by the histrionics of the Indonesian women, he said. And they show a picture of this lady lying down on what appears to be like a little throw rug that you would maybe use for your puppy near a closet door. And it's got no pillow, no blanket, nothing. Nothing but this little throw rug. Anum lies on a mat on the floor at the home, it says. Well, I guess they're calling it a mat. It looks like a throw rug, but maybe it's a mat. Prosecutor said the abuse included beatings, slashings, scaldings, and forced stair climbing as punishment for perceived misdeeds. Now, what all could a housekeeper do as a misdeed? What could be construed? Maybe left a crumb on a dish or a drop of water on a plate? Oh, my goodness. Prosecutors called it a case of modern-day slavery. Assistant U.S. Attorney Mark Lesko said in closing arguments, the poorly educated women worked as housekeepers for $100 or $150 a month, all of which was sent to their relatives back home. Lesko said the women, known only as Samira and Anung was the one lying on the mat, were subjected to punishment that escalated into a cruel form of torture that ended when one of the women fled on Mother's Day. Allegations of abuse included beatings with brooms and umbrellas, slashings with knives. Sounds like they knew the guy that wanted to change the tire. Being made to repeatedly climb stairs and take freezing cold showers as punishment for misdeeds that included sleeping late or stealing food from trash bins because they were poorly fed. Now, I wonder if they were stealing from the couple's trash bins or from the neighbor's trash bins. That would be a crime if you stole it from your neighbors. Samira, the woman who fled the house in May, said she was forced to eat dozens of chili peppers and then was forced to eat her own vomit when she failed to digest the peppers, prosecutors said. What a diet. This did not happen in the 1800s, Lesko said. This happened in the 21st century. Anung testified that Samira's nude body once was covered in plastic wrapping tape on orders from Varsha Sabdani, who then instructed Anung to rip it off. When I pulled it off, she was screaming, the housekeeper said through an interpreter before breaking down in tears on the witness stand. Sounds like she spoke pretty good English to me. The Sabnani's defense attorneys contended the two women concocted the story of abuse as a way of escaping the house for more lucrative opportunities. They argued the housekeepers practiced witchcraft and may have abused themselves as part of an Indonesian self-mutilation ritual. They also said the couple went on frequent vacations that would have given the two women ample opportunity to flee. The Sabnani spent nearly 3 months in jail until a judge approved a bail package that required them to post $4.5 million and pay an estimated $10,000 a day for security monitoring while they were kept under house arrest. My goodness, so you can kidnap someone, you can torture them, you can beat them, and you get house arrest. And you should see these gruesome pictures. I'm going to have to send this to Donald Newsom to post on the TNT site. This is just horrendous. And the defense attorney should go in the cell with him too, based on these outrageous defense statements he's making. Now they're showing the damage behind Samira's ear, and it looks like some kind of wild animal had been chewing on the back of her ear. Oh, what a story. You know, the guy's wife doesn't look all that bad in one photo, but in another photo, she looks possessed. She looks evil. And it's probably right after the verdict came down that they took this picture. So, that's what's happening these days in Islip, New York. Incredible. They have to know the guy that was trying to change that lady's tire. They must. Some health news. This is in the article, so I'm not trying to be gross here. This article came out early today, in fact, and this is called Pus Cell Count in Your State's Milk. Now, they have a listing for each state in the United States and the amount of pus cells, and this is measured, I guess, in parts per million, what is acceptable to have in milk. Now, it seems to me if you were this is just a commentary here for a moment before we even get into this article. I'm about to read about pus in cow's milk, so I think it warrants an introduction of sorts. When you go to the store, and depending on where you shop, your local grocery store or your local convenience store, maybe you go to the dairy to buy your milk if you still have one in your neighborhood. Do you order or do you purchase, let's say, a quart of milk or half a gallon of milk or a gallon of milk? Or do you have a choice? Do you purchase a gallon of pus or a quart of pus? Or maybe a pint of pus is enough. I don't know. this is the crazy news. This is the TNT news. You will not hear this news anywhere else, I guarantee you. Nor the commentary, but we're trying to use common sense here. Should you have any pus in your milk is the point I'm trying to make. Now, as I have to swear, I was totally ignorant of the fact that there was pus in milk. Now, if you get 2% milk, does that mean you have 2% pus? that joke was lying on the table. I had to say it. Okay, I'm going to get into this. I won't repeat the title here. One cup of... Now, if I can make it through this without losing it, this will be a small miracle in and of itself. One cup of cow's milk cannot legally contain more than 50 million pus cells. One cup of cow's milk cannot legally contain more than 50 million pus cells. That's 200 million pus cells per liter. Now, I have to pause there. Who counts how many pus cells are in milk? I mean, shouldn't you stop if you suspect there's pus cells in the milk? Shouldn't you stop and say, wait a minute, something's wrong here. We shouldn't even be testing this. Just throw it out. Find out where this came from and tell them they've got to get rid of the pus. It's milk. It's not pus milk. But that's what they're selling us, evidently. I mean, I was ignorant of this. The article goes on. Pus in milk? A dairy cow filters 10,000 quarts of blood through her udder each day and uses dead white blood cells, somatic cells, to manufacture milk. These dead cells are pus cells. Well, there's my ignorance. Dairy scientists are aware that when one quart of milk is tainted with 400 million or more pus cells, some 35% of the milking cows in the herd are infected with mastitis. Infected udders discharge mucus, bacteria, and blood into the milk that you and your children drink. Well, I'm not drinking it, I can tell you. I'm not drinking it. Mm-mm. The United States Department of Health and Human Services, along with the Public Health Service and Food and Drug Administration, where have I heard that name before, has established a 280-page set of protocols that is collectively referred to as the Pasteurized Milk Ordinance, or what they call, they have to have the three letters, get this one now, PMO. The PMO. Okay, the forward of this all-inclusive set of rules and regulations governing every quart of milk sold in America says, and this is the quote, occasional milk-borne outbreaks still occur, emphasizing the need for continued vigilance at every stage of production, processing, pasteurization, and distribution of milk and milk products. It is a breath of fresh air to read an occasional governmental truism regarding milk. Quote, milk has the potential to serve as a vehicle of disease and has, in the past, been associated with disease outbreaks of major proportions. Hmm. Now, I wonder if that's on the basis of the 50 million pus cells or the 400 million pus cells. This document is more than a guideline for milk producers. It's the law. In the preface, the purpose of the PMO is summarized. The Grade A Pasteurized Milk Ordinance is incorporated by reference in federal specifications for procurement of milk and milk products. It is used as the sanitary regulation for milk and milk products served on interstate carriers, and is recognized by the public health agencies, the milk industry, and many others as a national standard for milk sanitation. What does that mean? There's so much doublespeak in that sentence, it doesn't even make sense. Many dairy producers have challenged the laws contained within the all-powerful PMO courts. Oh, well, I went too fast there. The PMO, okay. Courts have clearly maintained the integrity of these sets of laws when asked to do so. On page 6 of the preface, the PMO states, the ordinance has been widely adopted for many years and has been upheld by court actions. One of the most comprehensive decisions upholding the various provisions of the ordinance was that of the District Court, Reno County, Kansas, in the case of Billings et al. Versus City of Hutchinson et al., decided May 1st, 1934. I think that's before we had refrigerators. In this action, the plaintiffs unsuccessfully sought to enjoin the enforcement of the Hutchinson Ordinance on the grounds that it was unreasonable. Now, this is a wonderful article. They name these ordinances, but they don't tell you what the ordinances are. The courts have repeatedly upheld the sanctity of this set of laws. The dairy industry continues to ignore the spirit of the laws so enacted. To date, no individual or group has challenged national enforcement of these statutes. There is a first time for all things. Boy, I'll second that emotion. In fact, let this newscast serve as the first time someone challenges the statutes. This is absolute insanity. Okay, and that was not in the article. That was my comment. Back to the article here. The standards for, I've got to go back one sentence here. The table of contents, page 7 of the preface, lists the standards for grade A milk and defines abnormal milk on page 20. The standards for grade A raw milk for pasteurization define abnormal milk this way. Lactating animals which show evidence of the secretion of abnormal milk in one or more quarters, the udder is divided into four quarters, based upon bacteriological, chemical, or physical examination, shall be milked last or with separate equipment, and the milk shall be discarded. Hmm. So, what they're saying is, how many udders do a cow have? Does a cow have? Well, I guess it's four. If they have four udders, I guess you work on three of them, and then I thought they had more than that. Seems like they have six or eight. Anyway, I think puppies have more nipples on them than cows. you discard the fourth one. Now, I mean, how do you know that one udder's got these 50 million cells and the other udder's got the 400? How do they figure that out? Well, it says based upon bacteriological, chemical, or physical examination, shall be milked last, or with separate equipment, or what? So if it's milked last, then what do you do with the milking machine? Do you just go on to the next udder, or do you utter your disapproval that that you don't have any more udder machines? I don't know. This is insanity. The above is further explained. Now, this is the public health reason. Get ready for this. Excuse me. The health of lactating animals is a very important consideration because a number of diseases of lactating animals, including salmonellosis, staphylococcal infection, and streptococcal infection, may be transmitted to man through the medium of milk. The organisms of most of these diseases may get into the milk either directly from the udder or indirectly through infected body discharges, which may drop, splash, or be blown into the milk. So now they're saying that the fourth udder really isn't even the issue, because you could contaminate the first udder, the second udder, and the third udder. This is utterly impossible. What is abnormal milk, they ask. The April 25th, 2002 issue of Hordes Dairyman. Oh, I've got a copy of that somewhere in my dresser drawer, I think. I read it to go to sleep at night. The Dairy Farmers magazine addresses that question. Veterinarian Dave Lynn testifies on page 341. According to the PMO, all milk from cows producing abnormal milk should be dumped. Makes sense. Lynn compares wholesome milk to abnormal milk and reveals insider industry standards shared by the National Mastitis Council, United States Department of Agriculture, and Food and Drug Administration. If cows are infected, milk is abnormal. This is a dirty secret that government agencies conspire to keep from the dairy-eating public. Dr. Lynn writes, research has shown that with a herd cell count of 200 million per liter, there may be as many as 15% of the cows infected. In herds with a 300 million count, this figure may be as high as 25%. Cell count refers to the number of somatic cells, which, as we mentioned before, are the dead white blood cells per milliliter of milk. Now, this is per milliliter, so you're talking about a 1,000th of a liter having 300 million of these dead cells, which could be described in a three-letter word, and we're not using PMO. They use the word pus. So if 25% of the cows in your state are sick and producing abnormal milk, which should be dumped, and that milk is not dumped, something is seriously wrong with the system. It is clear that some states in violation of these rigorous milk standards. Now, is your state in violation? If the cell count is over 200,000 in your state, please send a formal complaint to your Department of Agriculture. Start with the phone call. The number should be in your telephone book. Okay, I could comment about that, but I'll pass on that. Now, here's some advice. If the cell count is over 200 million in your state, 200 million in the whole state, or are they talking in this milliliter of milk? The milk is unfit to drink by their standards. File a complaint today. Now, here are some statistics. I'm not going to read all 50 states, and I'm wondering if they even have the cows in Hawaii. I don't see Hawaii in the list, so there mustn't be any milk cows in Hawaii. Alabama, 432 million pus cells per liter. I'm wondering how large a pus cell is. I'm wondering, in proportion to the amount of milk that's in there, how much volume of this, you know, if you pour a glass of milk, how much of that is pus cells? So Alabama looks like it's one of the highest, but it's not the highest. Arizona is at 283 million pus cells per liter. We'll just name the amounts here for a moment. Arizona is 457 million. California is under 300 million. They're about 291 million. You get down to Louisiana, they're 456 million. They're only 1 million behind Arizona. And that's after Hurricane Katrina. So it makes you wonder, do the illegal aliens sneaking over the border into Arizona, do they contribute to the pus cell count in the cows that are producing this nasty milk? Ohio is around 309 million. Tennessee jumps up. Tennessee, I think, is going to win the prize so far. They're up to 463 million pus cells per liter of milk. And out of this list, they seem to be the winner, Tennessee. So you folks in Tennessee, enjoy chewing your milk. Now, the number of pus cells in milk in each of America's 50 states can be found at this USDA site. And if you have your pen or pencil and a piece of paper handy, and I think you could even write this probably on a milk carton if you're somehow able to listen to this broadcast on a wireless. You go to HTTP, and we'll skip the colon and the forward slashes. You know that's always in there. The letters AIPL.ARSUSDA.gov/publish/DHI/current/SCCRPT.htm. And that will take you to the list of the 50 states. Or you can go to Robert Cohen at http://www.notmilk.com. That makes more sense right there. Now, it seems to me with all these numbers, with all this stuff, they could have made a very simple URL. They could have called it something like HTTP, fourth utter, /pus, or something like that, and that would have handled it. They didn't have to make it that complicated. Well, I thought you would find that interesting, because those of you out there that still drink milk or make ice cream out of milk, or I'm wondering, you know, if that's how they make cream. Is cream over the 400 million count of this stuff? Maybe it's 800. Maybe you need to have a billion of these dead cells in there to be able to make cream, you know, sweet cream for ice cream. Oh, I don't mean to sound gross, folks, but I mean this is absolutely disgusting. This is what they're selling us. On my show last night, I talked about the toxins and the poisons that they intentionally put in the foods, and they're saying, well, you can have so many million of these dead cells in there, which is infection. That these are bacteria. Whether they're and I guess now it begs the question, at what point do they stop counting the dead cells, and do they even count the live cells? Because infection doesn't necessarily mean that all these cells are dead. And the way people get sick from eating anything these days, it's a miracle that any of us are even alive to talk about it, let alone write an article about it. Okay, we'll try to switch gears a little bit here, and I just want to take a moment and talk about something that I saw on TV last night on CNN on the Glenn Beck show. I think it's called the Glenn Beck Show. Anyway, it's hosted by Glenn Beck. I have to say that I heard Glenn Beck before 9/11 on some major AM stations. His show was syndicated pretty much around the country not in a matter unlike Rush Limbaugh. Of course, he wasn't as popular as Rush Limbaugh, but actually, Glenn, I thought, was quite refreshing to listen to as a talk show host. He had skits that he had prepared. There was a lot of post-production work, a lot of music, a lot of creativity went into the things he reported. When 9/11 hit, this guy became a superstar because he tooted the horn of the powers that be, particularly the White House. And he did it in a way where he mocked Osama bin Laden quite a bit. He would read a bin Laden, so-called bin Laden translation of one of these videotapes that they would show us on the TV. And to make us fear the boogeyman, they had to have these tapes come out. And as soon as two words were uttered, and that's no pun intended, I'm not referring back to the story I just did, uttered with a T. Bin Laden was portrayed by the mainstream media as to be this boogeyman, and we heard these mantras coming from the politicians in Washington, D.C., and on a state level, too, and through various intelligence agencies and law enforcement agencies. It was just repeated ad nauseum because they had to brainwash us into believing that this guy was really the guy behind 9/11. And the history is arguably quite different from that story. But if you're not up to snuff on the history, you won't know that. So Glenn Beck, after 9/11, started doing these routines on the bin Laden tapes. And they always come in with the newscasters or the news anchors' interpretation of what's going on, what he's really saying, because not many of us speak Arabic. And I'm sure those of us that do probably resent the fact that we can't hear the words that are coming out of his mouth. And it could be just gibberish anyway. But if you can't hear the audio, you can't hear the audio. What we should be demanding is that if they're going to play the tapes of somebody speaking in French, allow the fact that some of us do speak French and let us listen to what's being said. And if we have any questions, we can email you or call you up at the studio or send you a letter and say, hey, would you show that bin Laden tape again? Would you give us your interpretation of it? Or would you give us the government's interpretation of what's being said? Would you give us the spin? Or the conspiracy theory, as you like to call it? Would you call it like it is or allow us to make that determination? Or are you going to continue to propagandize us? Because that's really what they're doing. So the point I'm making here is that Glenn Beck jumped on the bandwagon and basically touted the horn for the powers that be, that bin Laden was this boogeyman, that that Saddam Hussein had plotted with bin Laden, and that they had weapons of mass destruction, and they were coming to get us. You know, they were going to come after the Sears Tower. That would have been the next thing, and probably the Washington Monument, and we should be all up in arms about that, ignoring the facts. Because it was a whitewash of a gigantic murder scene, and they formed a commission of their cronies to go in there and hoodwink the public. By the way, I should mention that this is the political commentary section of this show. Now, Glenn Beck, I thought, handled it pretty well because he addressed many of the actual issues. And at that time, the movement on the internet was just starting to sprout its wings, so to speak. We were listening to expert physicists like Professor Stephen Jones from Brigham Young University. And as this movement began growing, all of a sudden, we had these stories about Anna Nicole Smith. Anna Nicole Smith was more important than the fact that we were supposedly hunting a terrorist that had murdered over 3,000 people in a matter of a couple of hours. Snuck in into the border 19 so-called hijackers from the Middle East who had been living here in the country, who had been training at airports, and were somehow able to convince the leaders of our country to order a complete stand down of our military. Now consider that for a moment. We go into outer space, We have no problem sending hundreds of thousands of soldiers all over the world, not to mention all the weapons. We have the weapons of mass destruction, not the Iraqis. We're the ones. But the spin is the other way around. Despite all of that, there's a commission that whitewashes the whole event. A commission, just like when we had the JFK assassination. They had a commission for that, too. Every time there was a major crime committed in this country, they had a commission. Because a commission doesn't have the authority to put people in jail. They investigate and they come out with a report, and everybody's supposed to swallow that report hook, line, and sinker. And then it's a dead issue. There's nothing to do. Well, it's about time that we demand that there is an investigation for murder for the thousands of people that were killed on 9/11. Because it was a murder case. And if it's Osama bin Laden, then go after his rear end, arrest him, and bring him here and try him for murder. But you can't do that because he died in 2001. So you have to come up with alternative method of brainwashing us. So you bring Anna Nicole Smith on TV, then Paris Hilton, then Nicole Richie, then Britney Spears, and then Britney Spears doesn't have any underwear on, and then Anna Nicole Smith's son dies, then Anna Nicole Smith dies, and you got these people trying these people on court, on TV as if they were in court. They're being tried on CNN and these talk shows, Nancy Grace's talk show on Headline News Network every night, and you have the people from court TV come over there on these shows. They bring the same attorneys, these same defense attorneys that get all these other criminals off, and then they make superstars out of all of them. They bring them all on the news, and they're all giving us the news. They're just hoodwinking us left and right, left and right, left and right, and nobody seems to care. Now, this is the setup, the preface to the Glenn Beck broadcast from last night. Glenn Beck was actually doing a pretty good show, but then he started playing and singing the party line on the radio. He became a very valuable tool for them, and they put him on Headline News Network. And they had a special last night, which was an interview with Ron Paul. And those of you who are hearing about this for the first time, Congressman Ron Paul, Republican from state of Texas, is actually running for the presidency of the United States in 2008. In two separate fundraising events held within the past month, his campaign headquarters, through the support of folks around the country who are waking up to what's going on, not all of us are asleep, not all of us are brain dead. He raised on one occasion about $4.3 million, and I had heard a figure as high as $6.2 million last night. I don't know exactly where it is, but he broke all kinds of records for raising money. This is from the general public. This is from the conspiracy theorists, as they like to say. Anybody who's on the internet is a conspiracy theorist. Well, I remind the networks that they have the little disinformation sites on the internet, too. We have MSNBC and CNN and the BBC on there and all the newspapers, but you can't read newspaper articles online without paying a fee for them. And what they charge you for one article costs more than a month's worth of newspaper subscriptions. So it's a ripoff. And they want to data mine all your information to find everything they can about you so they can turn around and make money off of you behind your back without you knowing it. That's how heavy into control they are. Well, Ron Paul was asked some serious questions, and I understand the nature of politics. You can't alienate potential voters. You can't alienate the people that are possibly going to get you into the White House, should you survive that long into the campaign and make it through the election and actually become inaugurated even. there are certain things about 9/11 that Ron Paul, I felt, could have answered in his questions. For instance, those of us that talk on the internet were accused of being conspiracy theorists, wackos, delusional was a word that was used quite frequently. And Glenn Beck asked Ron Paul flat out, do you think 9/11 was an inside job? Now, to be a politician, he's got to say, oh, that's absurd, which is what he said. He said it was absurd. Now, Glenn Beck should have asked him, and I feel very strongly about this. I'm not saying Ron Paul's not the best candidate for the presidency. But if you're after the truth, if you're after what's right for America, where is the murder investigation from 9/11? Where is the murder investigation? He could have said, well, I don't have proof that it was terrorists or that it was the government. We don't know. But there wasn't a proper investigation. In fact, there were over 3,000 people killed on that day in three separate locations. There should be a murder investigation. Since when does the law require a commission for murder? Because if the government can do that, then the next guy charged with the murder should be able to form his own commission on the side. Think about that. Any of us charged with the murder should be able to form our own commission and come up with our own findings and just present it to the public and say, well, that's it. If you like it, tough. Or if you don't like it, tough. It doesn't matter. We don't care if you like it or dislike it. In fact, if you're not happy with our findings, you're against us. You're our enemies. That's the kind of language they use. That's how they twist the meaning of our Constitution. And you should be outraged at this. So I have to say, honestly, I was disappointed. I understand the political correctness things that politicians have to consider when they're trying to lure voters to their side. I understand that. I'm sensitive to that. But to me, that's the part of politics that's disingenuous, because if you're not speaking the truth, you're not really presenting who you are. And if the people can't handle the truth, that's who's running for president's not going to change that. We're dealing with people who are brain dead. If they can't see what's going on, and not everyone is intelligent enough to look at all the different aspects of the 9/11 investigations and all the videos that came out and all the stories and all the books that and all the testimony that's come out. A lot of people can't comprehend that. Some people have more than they can handle just in trying to tie their shoes before they leave the house. Some people have a tough time remembering it's probably better, it's healthier, to close the lid on your toilet before you flush it. So how can you expect those people to comprehend 9/11? And we shouldn't even have to. It shouldn't even have to be, do we accept what happened? There should be a murder investigation. Murder was committed. Mass murder. Mass murder. If it was one of your relatives or one of your friends, you listeners out there, how would you feel about the fact that there's no murder investigation? Your loved one or your friend was murdered. And how many people get murdered in Central Park? And do they go someplace and start a war in a foreign country? No, they don't. And you could add up all the people across the country who are murdered in a park in one day, and it probably amounts to more people than on 9/11. Maybe you don't have buildings, 110-story buildings falling within a matter of seconds in those parks across the country. And you don't have put options on airlines in the parks across the country. And you don't have missiles being fired at the Pentagon. And you don't have gold heists going on in the World Trade Center in the parks across the country. But there's still murders. Who do they go after for those murders? Do they go after the Queen of England when someone is killed in a park somewhere in Texas? No, they don't. Do they go after the murderer? Many times they don't. But you would think with over 3,000 people dying within a space of a couple of hours, not to mention all the people that died from radiation poisoning later on, because there was radiation there. You better believe there was radiation. Where are those people? Where are the people interested in the investigation behind their deaths? Oh, what a crazy world we live in, folks. I guess maybe we're better off just contemplating the pus and the milk that we drink and leave the 9/11 stuff for God to deal with in the afterlife. I can't see these people going on much longer in the capacity that they're fulfilling. They're not even doing a good job at the corruption that they're doing. I hope you learned something from the news today, and I'll close with that political commentary. You've been listening to BBSRadio.com. I'm your host, Don Nikoloff, and this was the TNT Trusted News Hour. And there'll be another one tomorrow night. Or I should say tomorrow afternoon. I'll be on tonight. On Evident Footprints. 10 p.m. Eastern. No. Pacific. 1 a.m. Eastern. Tomorrow morning. So I hope you're there. It's been real. It's been real enlightening for me. I hope you learned something. I hope I caused you to think a little bit. Send your news into bbsradio.com. Go visit the Trusted News page. You can upload your news there. Have a good afternoon, folks. Watch the milk. Not safe.